There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday Eve edition of the show. And by the way, coming up today, we are launching Locals Only Christmas 2025. The first draft of the list will go up today. We'll talk about that later on in the show. Reminder, you can call, you can text, you can even talk back the show. Obviously, the calls and texts, same number, 251-343-0106, 343-0106. Call or text. If you use the FM Talk 106.5 app, if you see that microphone icon on the front page, if you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air as well. All right, I mentioned this with Jeff, and first time getting this man on the show, and good. I've been wanting to get him on since he officially started the new job. District 5 City Councilman Bo Fleming joins us here on Midday Mobile. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Start off with this. Let's get to that. So, unite, go St. Paul Saints and Roll Tide.
Go St. Paul Saints, Roll Tide. That's
we got
right.
the same track there. So, got to talk about. There's so much to talk about with what you're doing now and the road opening here for McGregor today. But you decided at what point you were going to run for city council. I mean, what is kind of what's that process? Because you're a younger guy. You got things you're doing, and you go, you know what I want to do? I want to be in city council.
Good question. You know, so for me, it really wasn't like a knee-jerk reaction to any particular issue. Getting involved, having some ownership in the city, the district, the neighborhood, that kind of thing. I would say it really probably goes back to when Mayor Stimson ran the first time. I'd moved back, kind of starting out my adult life, raising a family, getting into business, things like that. And I volunteered for Mayor Stimson's first campaign.
Okay.
And I get in and I see, you know, there's this guy, he doesn't have to do this, but he wants to take ownership in his city. And I found it inspiring. I said, you know, it's not the right time right now, but one day I do want to do that too and get involved and get back and do what I can to kind of help my neighborhood out. And, you know, so 12 years went by.
Yeah.
And getting a little more established in my career, kids were growing, things like that. And really where it first started is listening to your show. It was Tuesday, I'm on my way back from a Lions Club meeting, and you announced that Joel Daves wasn't going to seek re-election.
Yeah.
And
I remember that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So then, you know, you fast forward maybe a month or so, and Mayor Stimson said he wasn't going to seek re-election. But on that Tuesday, I'm going down the interstate and listening to your show, and you made that announcement, and my wife called, and she said, hey, I just heard Joel Daves isn't going to seek re-election to city council. And she knew this was something I was passionate about. And I hang up with her, and another friend calls, and she says, hey.
Oh, wow.
And it was like it hit me in the gut. I was like, you know, there's something I've wanted to do for 10, 12 years.
Right.
And this is the time.
It's sending you a message.
It was. So it just was the right time. It perfect storm with children, family, career. It came together. And that's really where I started thinking about it. So that was in April, I believe, of that year.
Mm-hmm.
And so talking with family, talking with friends, and then I reached out to Councilman Daves. I said, hey, I think I want to run for your seat. And he said, well, let's talk. And over a few months, it just led to a campaign forming, and here we are today.
So, I mean, you don't have to expose everything, but you can. You sit down with then Councilman Joel Daves. What does he say to you? Does he say, you better really want to do this? Or, I mean, kind of, what was the vibe?
He was great. He was extremely insightful. You know, really, I asked questions to him, like, hey, take me through your day. What are the biggest calls you get? What are the biggest challenges, the pros, cons, things like that. And he laid it on the table. And he didn't He didn't sugarcoat anything.
Good.
But he also kind of was excited, you know, that somebody wanted to come in and do it. And then shortly thereafter, I met with Mayor Stimson and told him my intentions of wanting to do this. And he didn't sugarcoat it either. And I just was really trying to get an idea of what all it would entail.
Right.
And everybody was supportive. And that made me feel good, like I was making the right decision.
Well, I mean, yeah, it sounds like a preponderance of the evidence says, hey, you know, Bo, you need to run for this. And you talk about getting the calls. That's something that over the years, talking to members of the council, watching what y'all do, what makes the news or makes the show is what happens at a city council meeting or maybe the pre-council meeting to some degree. But that's the part everybody sees and talks about. But the phone ringing thing. Now, I've talked about this with member city council, members of county commission, those kind of things. That's the part of the job that it doesn't make the news. It doesn't make the news often. It's the, hey, I got this problem in our district. You need to fix this.
Absolutely. And I will say my phone's definitely ringing a lot more than it used to.
Yeah.
But right now it's really, I've enjoyed it. With what I do every day professionally as a physical therapist,
right.
People come in, they've got a problem. You establish a relationship and you work together to fix it. And for me, kind of like someone calls me, they've got an issue, we meet each other, we establish a relationship, we work together to fix it.
That makes sense, yeah, the same kind of, different issues, but same kind of timeline.
Different issues, but the same plane of attack, right?
Okay.
You know, so I love kind of troubleshooting with people every day, setting goals, achieving goals, things like that. So the approach to solving a problem, it's a little bit different. You know, you're doing it for a community need as opposed to a physical need.
Mm-hmm.
But it, I found it very rewarding the first month.
Okay. Yes, and we'll continue to get updates from you throughout.
Sure.
Because, I mean, you've got the things that are specific to five, but then you got, you know, you got another six districts to work with as well and an administration.
Correct. So obviously, my objective is to represent District 5 and to serve them, to handle their needs. But you have to collaborate together with other...
Yeah, no district, council district is an island. I've
correct.
Watched this.
Yeah, so you have to think big picture. Mm-hmm. You know, it's if it's good for the city as a whole, then it's probably going to help your district too. So what I would say right now is coming right in, I feel like I walked into a big happy family. I mean, all other six council members are great. We work well together. We don't, you know, agree on everything, but
right.
we respect each other. We communicate well with each other. It's just a really cohesive group right now that I think that's important to run city business.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to add, at the end of the day, that's good for our district.
What about the mechanics of it? Getting in there, like, you know, the mechanics of how the council works. Not even ideas or policies, like the, you know, the semantics of it.
Yeah, communication. You know, that's the big thing. For me, it was a little bit of a learning curve coming in. You know,
like, yeah, what do we do? What time do we start?
Exactly. Yeah. So I will say the staff that helps the support staff of city council is incredible. When you walk in, you're greeted with a smile. There's an agenda. There's communication. I mean, they really kind of point you in the right direction.
Okay.
If you have questions,
you're not thrown to the wind to go, hey, Bo, figure this out.
Correct. No, I mean, each group of districts has an assistant, and they are rock stars, and they really just kind of take you by the hand and say, hey, here's what we're doing today. Here's the agenda. Do you have any questions? What can I help you with? So, I mean, yes. To some extent, I was thrown in the deep end of the pool, but they've kind of helped me stay afloat.
Good, because I just always wondered that. Like, you know, somebody like you, people talk about getting brand new people in government, which is a great thing, but there is that period of time. There's a learning curve. How do I do this? All right, coming back with Mobile City Councilman Bo Fleming right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:20, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday, and good to have Mobile City Councilman Bo Fleming in studio. Brand new on the gig, and, you know, new faces on the council, new faces in the executive branch as well. It's an exciting time. I will say this. You mentioned Mayor Stimson and the inspiration from working on this campaign. I've said this before in my lifetime, and we'll see what happens for Mayor Cherry Gattis going forward, but Mayor Stimson was the best mayor Mobile's had in my lifetime.
Same here.
I mean, not even close.
Yeah, no doubt. I totally agree with you there.
So much stuff happened and changed. And there, listen, I do this for a living. There's things I disagreed with the mayor on, but the whatever they say, the body of work or whatever was the best.
Kind of hard to argue with. Yeah. I mean look at where we were and where we've come. I couldn't agree with you more.
We'll talk about what's going on now. We'll talk about the thing that has everybody talking and what Bo and I talked about before we came on the air. So it happened. 2 years, but it happened. The reopening of McGregor.
Yes. This morning. It was great.
I could hear the trumpets from here, man. It was like...
It was fabulous. Long time coming. Really, just all the hard work that went into it with Mayor Stimson, Councilman Davis. I mean, this goes back to Councilman Reggie Copeland years, where really just implementing, the policy and the ordinance to kind of keep McGregor a certain way. But all of that being said, the people that live up and down McGregor just were extremely patient. The infrastructure underneath, all the gas lines, the power lines, AT&T, all of that, it was an extremely involved project. So that's why it took so long. But I will tell you, standing out there this morning, seeing the finished product, it was well worth the wait.
Yeah, we're telling you, we were talking before the show, I've only driven that section of McGregor. I grew up right there. Mm-hmm. Only driven that a million times in my life. When I drove it today, I was like a dang tourist, y'all, because it's much wider and they're different. And it's like, I hadn't seen you in so long. My head's going back and forth like I'm in some new town or something.
I'm so used to not going through there now.
Yes, and that's going to be the habit now to go do it. So you go through there. The thing about all the infrastructure underneath, and I talked to Councilman Daves about this as well, and maybe going forward, my only suggestion is when we have projects like this in the city, almost like a press conference, say, yeah, it's going to take 2 years. Here's why. Here's so-and-so from AT&T. Here's so-and-so from the gas company. Sure. And have them, because I'm sure that information came out, but it didn't make it into the general consciousness of Mobileans of why it took so long, right? They said, dang, they're doing some sidewalks and repaving. What the heck is – well, because we didn't publicize a lot that – I mean, what major infrastructure.
Yeah, I mean, you can only see what's on the surface, right?
Right.
So to be able to kind of maybe communicate what really a project of that magnitude entails probably would have allowed everyone.
I'm sure
to
it was in a document, so I don't want to, step on somebody's foot.
No,
I'm sure it's in a document,
but anybody did anything wrong.
I just think in the future, just kind of my style of just, hey, y'all, here's what happened. Here's what's going on. Yeah. We'll put it in regular people language. This is going to take a long time because you wouldn't believe the stuff we got to dig up and replace. The stuff was put in the 1950s in there that has to be dug up. And so it looks great. You get up there, and I'm heading up the hill. I get to the roundabout. Okay. This is a roundabout XL. I don't know what's, this is bigger than the roundabouts like I see on Dawes or something like that.
Sure.
This is a big footprint there.
It really is.
And there's, if y'all haven't run it yet, you do need to make a decision before you get in the roundabout what you're doing.
Think about which way you're going to go, depending on where you're coming from, and keep moving. That's the big thing. Make sure you go the right way. We've already seen a few, traffic mishaps or so. No wrecks, but people, it's confusing if you've never really done it. So but I will tell you, I think the function of it's going to be great. It's going to keep traffic flowing. It looks beautiful. It's really just, it's going to make the whole area pop.
So people get used to that one going in. That was a big project. Obviously, we got big projects like the auditorium going in. Road work wise, you got anything? What's going to be the next McGregor? Is there a next McGregor coming?
There is a next McGregor.
Okay, where is it?
It's going to be in 26.
Okay.
Exactly when they're going to break ground, I'm not sure. It's going to be on the north end. So from the other roundabout, kind of around McGregor Museum Drive.
Okay, there by the fire station?
Correct, by the fire station and the big water tower. From that point on McGregor to Spring Hill Avenue, they're going to revamp that intersection too. And
Where that hits Spring Hill, will that be a roundabout, or will that continue to be a traffic light?
Continue to be a traffic light, but the traffic lights are going to get improved. Crosswalks are going to get improved. There's going to be a little bit of a redesign of that intersection, and there's a couple reasons why. One is to kind of add continuity to the other intersections in the neighborhood. It's going to kind of create a new entry point on McGregor. So if you're traveling McGregor to airport, you're going to kind of know, all right, we've come into the Spring Hill area. the crosswalks are going to look the same, street lights are going to look the same, a lot of nice streetscapes. But really for the park, you know, Langan Park, if you're coming down Spring Hill Avenue, once you kind of hit McGregor right there, you're starting to flow into that park that they're working on redoing.
Right.
So just to kind of enhance that whole corridor. And it's not going to be nearly as involved as the South McGregor project. They're going to widen some sidewalks, restructure a few little turn lanes.
Not a two-year?
Not a two. Now, I'm not making any promises, but from what I've been told, not a 2 to 3 year project.
Okay. We got the word here, y'all. Not a two to everything. Put you on the spot on that. Other infrastructure, just anything specific to five that you see coming, road work wise, expansion, that kind of thing?
There are some neighborhoods, some resurfacing projects, some CIP projects coming in the neighborhood. The Jackson Heights subdivision is going to get resurfaced. We had a community meeting last night, so we told some of their neighbors to be on the lookout in spring or first of the year. They're going to get resurfaced.
Okay.
The Ravine Woods subdivision is going to get resurfaced.
Okay.
Part of that project, too, is to enhance some sidewalks, kind of bring them up to code, ADA ramps, things like that, fix some of the places where roots have up, you know.
Yeah, that's a tough thing, too. It's funny. I talked about this with Mayor Stimson in year one, and I talked about it after he left office. And the sidewalk thing continued. It's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because I like the sidewalk things. It's funny. Growing up here, we rode our bikes on the side of the road or whatever. We didn't have all the sidewalks. We got them now, which is great. But everybody wants to keep the trees. Mm-hmm. They want the sidewalks and they want to keep the trees. And those two forces are working against each other.
They are.
So, like, how you...
It's a challenge.
Sometimes, I mean, I know I'm going to get people on my case, and I love trees, y'all. But some trees got to come down, man. We got trees. We're good on trees.
Well, and they're doing some things right now citywide with urban forestry, you know, because trees can be a danger. I mean, they can fall on a house. They can fall on a roadway, things like that. So they're really placing an emphasis on what of those trees could impact traffic, could impact business, could impact housing. They're looking for different disease trees, things like that. So,
But they'll buckle, though, in addition, buckle up a dang sidewalk or a parking lot.
They will. They will. And you know, we're accustomed to having hurricanes here, so anything like that. So they are trying to bring some attention to that. If anybody sees any of those things in your neighborhood, call 311 because they're expecting to hear about having to do some tree work across the city. They've allocated some time, resources, and money to address some of those tree issues.
District 5, lived there for a long time in District 5. You talking about, I wonder if Alabama Power could show us an overlay, but because of the trees there, I mean, we'll have a tropical storm or just a big wind, and there'll be so many houses out of power there, and the rest of the city's like, yeah, we're fine.
Yeah.
But there's like so many limbs, so
many
trees.
If the wind blows strong enough at my house, we lose power pretty quick.
Right. Yeah. So it's a thing that's going on there. All right. We're going to go to the news here in a second, but I want to start this. Can you hold over the news?
Yeah, by all means.
Okay. So you get in there, you're brand new at Mobile City Council. Then you hear this week at the council meeting that rent has not been paid for city offices inside the county-owned building. Did you see that? Had you had a little?
No, I did not see that coming.
Okay.
So obviously that was something that had been, I assume, been brewing before I took office. So it's kind of the elephant in the room now. For me coming in, I think it's extremely important that the city and county work together, come to an agreement, stuff like that. I also think it's very important, representing the city, that we are a good steward of taxpayers' money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, looking at it from both sides, I want us to be as responsible as we can, make a good use of our time, money, and resources, but also understand that the county has expenses too. So I think that an agreement can be reached. It's not my decision. I think Mayor Chiragatis is extremely capable of negotiating a good deal. The council has expressed some opinions about making wise financial choices for the city. I know other council members this week, I know Mr. Woods and Reynolds and Penn have expressed their opinion on not getting locked into a long-term lease that may not be a good financial decision for the city.
A long-term lease at the current?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So.
Tell you what, come back from the break, more with Councilman Fleming right here on Midday Mobile. Got some questions in on the text line form at 343-0106. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And yeah, by the way, it is time. The first draft. I say it that way because it's just human nature. I've been talking about Locals Only Christmas, doing that probably 10 years now. Locals Only Christmas list goes up. I've been soliciting for new people on there, but I know how it works. We put it up, and then somebody's going to go, oh, you also ought to have this author, this craft maker, this tour giver, all those people on there. So there's a connection. If you go to facebook.com/FMTalk1065, you'll see our Locals Only Christmas list. When you're there, there's also a link to add more people or items to the list. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But this all started, Councilman Fleming here, this all started self-serving because like 10 years ago, I was like, I want to have Christmas gifts that nobody else gives. You know what I'm saying? Like you show up with the Christmas gift that they're like, oh, cool. Like nobody forgets that you're the one that you don't give like the basic gift.
Right.
So I started looking for like Mobile Baldwin County kind of gifts mm-hmm. and just started from there. So if y'all are listening, the list goes up. There is a link to send me more people to put on the list for this year. We'll talk more about that more going forward. All right. Some text coming in. Let's see. This one might be some intra-council play. A texter named Josh.
Okay.
A texter named Josh says, ask Bo Fleming if he likes Ben or Josh more. So, you any answer to that?
You know, that's a lose-lose answer for me. depends on who's listening, huh?
That's right.
No comment.
Probably both. Matthew says, can you ask Bo what we as a city can do to attract a Trader Joe's to open in Mobile? Mobile needs a Trader Joe's.
You know, so when we travel Atlanta, Birmingham, places like that, we always pop into a Trader Joe's. You know, it would be great to have one. Would we be able to support it? Things like that. You know, that's kind of a question for above me.
How does that work? I mean, have you seen it? Do they come a calling or do we go a calling?
I think we go calling.
Okay. Okay.
I'm sure. I think it depends. I mean, you know, if we have a good market for it, I'm sure they call us. That probably would be a better question for a real estate developer or somebody like that.
You're talking about the development here. They're saying, you know, we're talking about McGregor, but they said St. Louis Street, what went on there, and it's going to be great there. So
yeah, so they're basically taking it one block at a time, to my knowledge. It's 16, 17, 18 blocks. It's about $1 million a block, but, I mean, it's really going to enhance traffic flow, sidewalks, connectivity all up and down St. Louis Street. They've started, and it's I think it's going to be great for that area.
Texture says, can we allocate money for a Christmas bonus?
That would be great.
Okay.
again, well, not my decision. We can talk to finance about that. Talk to the mayor about that. People deserve it, that's for sure.
Jason asking you here says Councilman Fleming, foresee any improvements and accountability to the 311 system. Anytime I've submitted anything, a few weeks pass and it shows up resolved without me hearing anything and the problem is remaining?
It's a very good question. You know, they do such a great job trying to manage all the requests with public services and things like that and 311. Could maybe communication be a little bit better? Probably so. I mean, we could probably improve communication among a bunch of different departments. But 311 is really kind of the quickest, best way to let the city know about what you have going on and getting into the system. There's just so many requests and so few manpower to get to them. But that's still the best route to take. And, you know, but I'm sure we can look at improving that area.
Okay. Backstrap Stacker says, pave my road, Bo. Kidding, of course, so happy he's in office. Let me add an addendum, too, for Backstrap Stacker. Maybe pave the road if you had your Christmas inflatables inflated and not laying flat in your yard. Does that scare you that I saw that? And the process that you said, talking about paving roads in five, is it just like by need or you know, is it, do you have like a triage list, like, oh, yeah, this road needs it the most, and then the next one and the next
one? There's a very detailed system. So basically how that goes is traffic engineering, they go through and they grade all the roads. This happens all over the city. You know, A, B, C, D.
Okay, so there is like a list and like we know.
Absolutely. They're continuously looking at, you know, the condition of the roads, and they're graded. And so obviously if you have a high grade, you're not a top priority, but if you have a very low grade, they try to prioritize that.
Okay.
And then that goes a couple different ways. You've got CIP funds that can be dedicated mm-hmm. to that, PAYGO funds, things like, and just an alternating year thing. So basically, let's say District 5, for instance, they come in and they say, hey, you know, Mr. Fleming, we've got these streets that we've assessed that have a poor grade. You know, how would you like to go about it? So then we try to get it on a plan of how it's going to get paid for, when it's going to get done, things like that. It's not a haphazard type of system. It's a very organized system. They are grading the roads, and then we try to prioritize them based off how they're graded.
Well, you know, you're talking about working with the other six members of the council, and I've talked about this with council members before. If you have whatever road, it's anywhere road in Mobile, and it goes from 5 into 6, or it goes into 7, like, if we're going to go ahead and do it and get the crew out there.
Sure. Yeah, there was a project like that this year, you know, with Hillcrest. You mm-hmm. know, I think Councilman Reynolds and Councilman Woods, it kind of went through both of their districts. But, yeah, while we're at it, let's keep going. Let's
Right, so we could pull money, or at least, I mean, you've got two districts asking for money, and then you got CIP money.
Absolutely. Yeah, you want to be able to get the best bang for your buck. Save as much as you can, but surface as much as you can, too. So, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to come back to the conversation about, I know it's your new place down there, but new for you and your job, being at the county building where the city offices are. You talk about other members of the council saying, we don't want to get a long-term contract on this. Has there been any discussion that, you know, I've dealt with this, look where we are, you know, lease space where we are. Hey, you can have a better rate. We'll work with you on a rate if you give us more time, you know, or like is the length, is duration of a contract going forward the issue, or is it the price per square foot? Or
so among the city council, you know, I can really only speak for that, and I really can't speak for a whole lot of it just being so new and not really knowing how it all works. But we haven't necessarily sat down and had any kind of meetings basically saying, you know, breaking it down, going, well, if we could do this price per square foot or this.
Because you're a business guy. You know, this thing absolutely. Where you're looking at, I don't know if you leased where you were.
Okay. So, I mean,
you're like, man, you know, if I got to commit 5 years, I'm going to get a better rate, but I'm committing 5 years. Okay, well, then can we do 3 years at that rate? You know, whatever.
Absolutely. The way that, you always want to negotiate the best deal.
Right.
I would say probably, and just in conversation, casual conversation, we've kind of tried to look at it. And again, this is just shooting off the hip mm-hmm. conversations, is we're leasing 128,000 square feet, mm-hmm. okay, at a certain rate. We're paying $125,000 a month. It's a relatively good price per square foot. We've been doing it, whatever.
And I'll go back, and I didn't pull the numbers, but
you're right.
The commissioner sat here and said,
he did.
You look elsewhere, and it's 24, you know, 24 and a half or something per square.
And, you know, he's looking at it from, we've got all these expenses. We're paying the power bill. We're doing this, that, and the other. And, you know, it's a huge expense for the county. But me personally, I think city could probably economize a little bit, get by with less square footage, change our footprint down there. If that helps the city save some money, so be it.
Stay in the same place but fewer square feet.
I'm not saying that's what we're going to do, and I'm not saying that's what we've talked about.
We're just bouncing ideas off.
Yeah, it's just, you know, in my opinion, I think we could probably have a little bit less of a footprint mm-hmm. down there. We could still effectively do city business with less square footage.
Okay.
That would save the city some money on, mm-hmm. on their rent if we either had a better rate or paying for less square footage, or, you know, kept it comparable to what we were paying. You know, from a business standpoint, if you look at it that way, there's some adjustments we could make to keep it cost effective for both sides. And I feel as though, I don't know this, I feel the mayor wants to negotiate. I feel obviously the commissioners want to negotiate. I think an agreement can be reached. But looking at it from a business standpoint, I think we can pivot however we need to
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about what you brought up there is just reducing the area that's leased.
Yeah.
That maybe, you know, less square footage and...
Yeah, we have 128,000 square feet. Could we do the same thing we're doing right now in 7580? You know, and that would help cut down some cost. All of these options are going to be explored. I think, do we maybe move some people out of Government Plaza that could do some stuff in some other city-owned structures we already have, make things a little more central? Do we negotiate a better rate? Do we negotiate square footage? All these things, I think, are on the table. And but that being said, I think it's important that we be mindful and wise of how we spend the taxpayers' money. And, you know, just for my month being on the job, I feel like we probably could do more with less square footage.
Okay. That's a part of it I hadn't even thought about. So, I mean, that's a... another part of this. And yeah, so you're looking at it like a private sector business person, just like I've done here, like the lease, like, okay, well, y'all want this number, but I want this number.
Somewhere
in between, we can afford it. Coming right back with Councilman Funding right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. All right, Santa's out there, and bring Councilman Bo Fleming, District 5, into the mix here. Santa's, if bicycles are in the mix, right, and I have been in the workshop before with a box and a bike in the box, and it's Christmas Eve, and it lists that these parts are in there that are not in the box, or the screw or the nut that's supposed to go on the bolt is not the right one. You've been there?
Oh, yeah, we're talking Christmas Eve?
Yes, and you cut your hands, and okay, so you've been there. Not only does my buddy Clint Jameson have the best assortment of what he calls the Amish bikes, the non-electric, he has a great assortment, 70-plus of the e-bikes in stock. For you need go down there. The e-bike thing is great because he'll let you test ride it and see what you like and what you need. But what he also has is the knowledge to put the bicycle together. So when you buy a bike, whether you're buying bikes for the kids or your spouse or whatever for Christmas, the bikes are put together by the techs that know what they're doing and tuned, and everything is right. Santa, all you gotta do is have a little eggnog and some cookies and roll the bike under the next to the tree. I mean, that's the selection is great. The service is great. Clint has been a buddy of mine for 25 years, and he's been bicycle guy since I've known him. But just this part of it, number one, to shop local, do that. But have the thing put together the right way so there's not a problem and Santa doesn't have a horrible Christmas Eve. All right, so let's do it this way. You go see him in person at the corner. He's at Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, kind of catty-cornered across from Bruce Chris. They're online at adventure-earth.com. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything to get y'all outside and away from cutting yourself up on Christmas Eve. Go check him out. So you have been there. Like, you're like, it's supposed to, the part is supposed, it's the, there's not the part.
It's inevitably cold. You don't have the part. You're limited light.
Yes.
You're struggling, and you're on a time crunch.
I'm glad you've lived the same life as I have. Yes.
Four kids.
Yeah. And you're like, in bicycles, you're like, all right. And then everybody's asleep. Now I'm going to put the bicycle together. What have I gotten into? All right. Let's see. This John says we need to make some road extensions, such as Moffitt and McGregor connecting straight to Wolf Ridge, extend Florida Street to Government Boulevard. More extensions here. Let's see. Scrollverine. Let's see. I'm guessing some of those city employees would like to be able to work where they can walk out to their cars quicker. Oh, you're talking about the parking down there.
Yeah. So, yeah, parking's an issue down there. I mean, for me with the city, I mean, Councilman Woods made a great point the other day. For a lot of his district's residents, if you're trying to do business with the city, you know, you've got to drive 45 minutes, you get downtown. You have 15 minutes to park, 15 minutes to get in, go through security, go to a window. It's probably the wrong window. Then you get redirected. Mm-hmm. And then 50-50, you might be told you can't do what you're trying to do. It's just not very convenient. Now, being downtown's great, but if we had some of the city services maybe more central, it was things like that, annexed a few little services.
Do we have the City Mobile have the real estate that's empty elsewhere?
We have real estate. Where it's exactly located, I'm not sure, for those types of services. But I think it would be okay if we did move some things westward.
Rock and Roll Doctor says, hey, I missed the beginning of the talk with Bo. Has the lease between the city and county expired? If not, were the price increases divulged and who signed the lease?
So I'm speaking on what's already been put out there, mm-hmm. Newsworthy.
Right.
To my knowledge, it has expired.
Yes,
October 1st.
Yeah, that's what the commissioner said on the show Tuesday.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going on what he said. So, yeah, October 1st, I do, and then also what's been reported, October and November have been paid by the mayor at the old rate.
At the old rate.
Correct, at the old rate. And I think until something is negotiated, the mayor's going to continue to pay, but, we'll just have to wait and see. But, yes, the lease has expired.
This texture said, it's funny, so you did it because, you live in the area, but you're also District 5 representative and city councilman, went to the opening of the roundabout. I did because I couldn't help myself. I had to go see it, after all this time. This texter said, just rode through the roundabout. It's great. For your information, however, the big flashing... See, this is why you contact your councilman. The big flashing sign on McGregor still says the intersection is closed.
Interesting.
So y'all, somebody down there...
We're trying to clean up. Yeah, so the way it opened at 10... And we had police and signs out there. The ribbon cutting was at 8:30. Everybody took a couple laps around it. Mayor Spiro and Mayor Stimson. It was like a little Mardi Gras parade. I mean, they were just making laps. They're making me dizzy watching them go around.
Hey, kids, big
they're having
parliament.
Fun. Yeah, they're having fun. So I would assume all of the signs and the police and all of that, we'll be out of there.
They most of them listen, so if anybody needs to call, y'all just make the sign say Merry Christmas or something like that.
That's right. Change it.
And that's going to be a big deal, too. When I came back down, so I came airport to McGregor and came up and went to Mom's house. And that's how my rock and roll lifestyle is. And then came from Mom's back to here. And going back down to the south on McGregor, those businesses that had their signs and street signs up and stuff like that, even though you could get to their businesses, that must have been
easy.
A tough couple years for those folks.
It wasn't easy. I'm so glad that most of them survived. We're talking McGregor Square, Pine Brook Shopping Center, things mm-hmm. like that.
Because, yes, you could. I mean, before somebody said, well, you could still get to them. Yes, you could still get to them, but you're not already driving by them.
Correct. So that route was on my route for 13 years, mm-hmm. Up and down McGregor and places like Fresh Market and things mm-hmm. like that. I'd stop in once, twice a week.
Because mm-hmm. you were going by it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then once I started going around and then wasn't even going over there at all, you just out of sight, out of mind. I wasn't going. But now it's just... I'm so glad that they made it through these few years and get out there and support them.
That's what I'm going to say. If that was something that you did before and you've gotten out of the habit, like so many, because they're going a different way. I thought about that as I came down the hill today. I was like, you need to go.
Make a point.
Shatter those doors again. Make sure.
Go check out the roundabout. Go down the hill. Get a cup of coffee. Get a fresh one. Go to all those businesses over there because they have been patient through this too, not just the neighbors in that area. I mean, those businesses have really... I imagine that it's been hard on them as well.
I imagine very hard on them.
Yeah.
And then it will affect, it's a smaller area, you said, and it won't be as long of a project, but we're going to go from Spring Hill to where the roundabout is now?
Yes. So from on Spring Hill Avenue to the current roundabout.
So the north end of McGregor, y'all. Yeah.
And they did a little phase of that. From like Old Shell to the roundabout, mm-hmm. kind of right by Rouse's and all that, wider sidewalks.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Crosswalks, things like that. What they're basically going to do from the roundabout to Spring Hill Avenue along that stretch of North McGregor is do the same thing. Widen it out a little bit, better streetscapes, better sidewalks, make it a little bit more inviting when you come onto McGregor on that north end. Provide a nice corridor, go into the park. Just it needs some better. So the big thing with that area of town is walkability, connectivity, things like mm-hmm. that. So enhancing the sidewalks, making it safer to get across the street, making it safer to get to the park, that's really the intent behind it.
It's good stuff. I'm going to have to get you to come back very soon.
I'd love to.
All right, get you on a regular schedule around
sure,
here.
Yeah.
Mobile City Councilman, District 5, Bo Fleming, our guest this hour. Thanks, man, and we'll talk
Thank
to you soon.
You.
Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. Yes, the locals-only Christmas list is in the mix. We'll talk about that. Also, Kyle Hamrick joins us from Lanyap. My buddy Joey Mason from Mason Hills Farm coming up next hour as well. And the way my phone's been ringing from a buddy of mine, there might be some breaking news out there. We will get it. All right, coming right back.